salmon bagel. Salmon bagel.
Here's the thing.
Salmon bagel.
Here's the thing, right? I don't want
to. We're rolling.
At the beginning of us recording, I don't want to say.
Cue in 5, 4, 3, 2.
I don't want to say to you, Damien, is it recording? Is your microphone on?
Why would you need to say that?
Don't want
to
say that.
I just told you it was.
This is the second time we've had to. You got. I don't care if you just worked a 10-hour day, because just because you worked a 10-hour day, it doesn't mean you can't look at an on switch. Right, I'm going to get that can of Coke and shove it up your bum.
This is, should we just watch it real quick, the only podcast that will start with a burp. I am Dr. Damien Gibson. I didn't go to 112 years of carbonation school to be called Mr. Thank you very much. Mm-hmm. That impressed Vistuka. And speaking of Vistuka, mm-hmm. she's the Italian girl. Mm-hmm. She is the woman that will rip your fucking arms off if you forget to press on your microphone.
Yes, it's I will.
Kelly, big whoop. What a fight about it. Vistuka.
I just don't understand. Because if I turn to you and go, Damien, is your mic on? You're going to go, oh, my God. Oh, my God. Of course my microphone's
Demo
on.
Demo, is your mic on? Din, 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 the demo is your mic.
You
gone.
Fucking crack the shits so like I'm nagging or babying
you. You are always nagging me.
Well, your microphone's on because I don't want to waste my time.
Yeah, well, you peaked a bit then.
Good. I have to fucking yell at you. Now, I swear to God, every time we record
you're
now.
You're peaking, mate. Mate, you're peaking. Oh.
Yeah. I love you.
Yeah, I love you too. So we've been watching the last fortnight. More
ear.
Coming up next, starring George Clooney.
and the Emmy goes to
That'd be right up there with the John Travolta. Remember when he like mispronounced that girl's name?
Yeah, Adela.
You know what the funny thing is? I don't think anyone else would have pronounced it correctly either. You know what I mean? Mm. Like, not to sound like a racist guy, but like I had never heard of her. Like if you didn't know the person, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean.
And you're just opening the envelope. John Travolta. Like,
listen, he's too busy thinking about Scientology and the death of his son and wife.
And trying to not think about penises.
Yeah.
Don't think about dicks. Don't think about dicks. Don't, oh my,
a dick, oh my God. A dick, a dick.
Oh my God.
So what am
don't
I watching?
Think about dicks.
I go through phases where one of my trauma responses.
Thinking of dicks. Thinking of dicks.
Thinking of dicks midnight. Putting balls in my face, getting in my butthole, getting in my face. Look at a little dick, put it in my face. Oh, you should be sucking dicks. Like
yeah.
That.
I want his foreskin back.
There's a lot of people that aren't going to appreciate what's happening right now, so let's get it back on track.
Why?
Serious. Television. Movies. Synergy.
Forget about it. You're on the ABC.
We're still number four. We're still, mate. How what? How long's that? Is that 4 minutes in for a late show joke?
Yeah, that's pretty late minutes, for us.
Yeah, late. That's late. Watching our ratings going through the floor. It's a late show joke. Late show 1993 comedy sketch series in Australia. Anyway, I go through phases where I re-watch television shows. While I'm working during the day, and it shows that I've watched a million times before, so I'm not focusing or watching it really.
All the shows I've watched before.
So I've done it a lot with 30 Rock and The Office.
Sopranos.
Mad Men. Sopranos. I reckon I've just.
Mad Men.
I haven't done Mad Men in a while. But Sopranos is just, and I did Gilmore Girls recently as well, which is just incredible. I was doing Law and Order for ages, regular one, and then SVU.
Clang, clang.
And then when you cancelled Prime, I didn't have Law and Order anymore. But then I realized we had Binge again. So ER, which I have watched before. And the episode I watched last night was probably, they did like a, I don't know if it was like Rolling Stones or whoever, did top 100 episodes of television.
The Rolling
forever.
Stones did their top 100 episodes of TV ever.
No, the magazine Rolling Stone.
I think.
God, you're annoying. You're so annoying. Anyway, and this episode was in like the top 20.
Episode number 5 is the one where Lucy dies.
Yeah, so I watched that last night and Damien came in and I was sobbing. I was sobbing. It's the one where Valentine's Day, where Lucy gets murdered and Carter gets stabbed. And it's just, but when you watch this episode, it is compelling television. Like
Lucy with a knife in a chest cavity. Da, 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 da.
Right. It's in terms of like incredible, compelling television. Like I cannot, like this episode won awards. Like it was. You know, and there's just every TV show has that thing where there's one episode that just
this episode's
like,
won awards.
Like, you know, like Breaking Bad? Like there's like one particular episode where
I
it's
love
like,
Breaking
oh.
Bad.
Like I feel like for me, the one episode that was really good was
the
when.
The Breaking Bad one is like the pizza on the roof episode.
Right.
Seinfeld,
the
contest. Say my name episode.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, this
the contest,
episode.
Yeah. So that's this episode. And it's absolutely compelling. Mm-hmm. Like, and watching it again, I was like, oh, maybe I just felt really emotional. And I was like, no, this is in everything from the framing of every scene. Like, there's one scene where they're, both bodies are up at surgery and the surgeons come in. So, like, Peter Benton, Corday, and the head of, like, surgery. And they come in and they're just in this room and they're just, like, they're cleaning their fingers or getting ready for surgery. And you see, like, the camera goes to Ann Spard's face and then Peter Benton's face. And no one says a word. Like, it's incredible. Like, all one shot. Like, this absolutely long, long shot where it just comes in. You see his face, her face. No one says a word. But just the panic in everyone's faces, like, washing their hands but, like, keeping it cool. It's fucking incredible, man. It's really good.
Yeah, I've watched bits and pieces of it. I never really watched ER when it was on TV. It always struck me as a mum show. You know, well, especially my mum because she was a nurse.
It's ahead of its time.
And she would, like, anything to do with the hospital, she would watch.
Maybe that's why you weren't that into it because your mum was a nurse and it kind of maybe gave you bad mojo. But
no,
it's
ahead of its time. I worked in hospitals when I was a kid and so, like, even now, I'm like, yeah, I don't want
to. This was the first one to come because, like,
I don't
want to
watch stuff in hospitals.
But after this came, like, The West Wing was fucking massive. You find people who love The West Wing, they fucking love The West Wing. Like,
yeah.
They watch it over and over again.
What's The West Wing? I'm missing the connection between ER and
The West Wing. Because the ER, I'm turning into a night tie. Because ER was like, in terms of that kind of.
I watch the ER with the Georgia
Clooney.
That
kind of drama. Like fast shot, like Jerry Bruckheimer, like dun, 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 like coming in.
Yeah, fast
swooping
cuts,
in, fast
yeah.
cuts. That is, ER was one of the first shows to do that. And it set off a bunch of like Chicago Hope. West Wing, like all these other shows of people are walking and talking, you know. It's just really good, man. It's just really good. So that's what I'm watching.
It's
and
not
I cried
bad.
Last
like
night.
The bits and pieces of it that I've watched, I'm like, this is a well-written show. It's well acted.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just not, I don't know. Some things grab me and other things don't. I don't hate it. It's not like other things
that's
of
okay.
yours where I've been like The Sopranos where I'm like, I fucking hate everybody.
That disappoints me, but
I hate everything about this show.
I still have hope that you will love Mad Men. Like, I
Mad
really.
Mad Men, I watched the first, I've told you this 1,000 times, my dear.
Yeah.
I watched the first scene of Mad Men. I liked it, and I didn't go back for some reason. I don't know why.
I want you to go back so bad.
I loved Game of Thrones. I loved
it. Yeah, I never got. I
and
couldn't
then
get
I,
into it.
I when the episode where fucking fuckwit McGee, the kid
Joffrey.
King Joffrey, died. Mm. I was so happy with that. I just stopped watching.
Yeah.
I don't know. I have weird rules and stuff that I make for myself. But I was always going to go back and watch Game of Thrones. I just never did.
I don't know, because I think me and you have been watching Penis or Pen 15 and you are absolutely loving it, which I am so appreciative for because I fucking love this show so hard and it makes me laugh and cry and have my period all in one. And I'm really digging how much you are loving Penn as well. Like,
yeah, it's a great
watching
show.
You love it as well makes me really happy. And I know that you watched season one of Mad Men, but season three, Jimmy, he always gets frisky this time of night. Anyway, season 3, 4 of Mad Men is compelling and I would love when Penn's finished, I'd love to watch an episode of Mad Men with you every night just to cleanse our palate.
Every night?
Or every second night. I don't know. You just watch an episode, you know?
Maybe.
It's really good. Anyway, what have you been watching, dickhead?
I don't know. I've been – when I've got home from work and stuff, I've just been watching, like, YouTube.
I am so happy that I was able to convince you. And listen, I reckon it would have been easier to get Damien to jump in a pile of shit than do what I made him do. We watched the 1996 American disaster film directed by Jean Dumont, written by Michael Crichton, who is also the creator of ER. Thank you very much. 1996 American disaster film, Twister, with Helen Hunt and Bill Paxton. Oh, my God. I was living rewatching this. I still loved it. You've never really seen it before, or you kind of had.
No, I hadn't.
You hadn't seen it before. Man, because there's another new Twister kind of coming out. I don't give a fuck. That means nothing to me. This is the real deal. This is the in the castle where it's like, what movies were on in the when you went to Thailand? Jumanji and Twister. Glad it's Twister. Man, everything about this film is brilliant. Like, you know when you watch some films and it's bad, like Showgirls, but you just fucking love watching it and you quote it because it's so bad? Twister for me is like a disaster version of Showgirls, minus the titty tat. I love it. I love it because it's bad for so many reasons. And the thing is, the CGI is not even that bad. So I don't even know how they did certain things because I don't know how they created like twisters and stuff because it's not particularly bad for 1996. Anyway, fucking what's her name? Helen Hunt, her character. Oh, fuck. I just love it. Joe, it's not going to bring your family back. I watched a clip of a couple at a, what's it called, Comic-Con, and they dressed up as the two characters on Twister, and then they had like pretend cows, like in the, and as they're going around in circle, he's like, it's not going to bring your family back, Joe. It's not going to bring your dead dad. You don't see it take your house and someone else and then miss the next. And then, dude, it's the cliches are A plus and well, go.
Yeah, I thought we could it's a dangerous concept for us, but I thought maybe we could try and add some structure to the episode and maybe go through the synopsis of the film. And then
dude,
we could talk
it's about twisters. What else is there is to say?
Oh, there's a lot about this film that needs to be said.
Okay. Can we do the synopsis in like a sentence or do you have to read the whole thing?
No, the synopsis is
Don't you think people know it?
No, this is how movie podcasts work, and we already had this conversation.
Okay. Well, I don't agree, but
you don't listen to me. Oh, so we're just going to randomly talk about just random.
Yeah. Okay. Well, no, but we're talking about what it's about now. So we're talking about it. So it's about a woman whose dad gets killed by a twister when she's a little kid, and now as an adult, she's got a vendetta against twisters. Bam, 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 bam. Right?
I don't know. I don't have the synopsis in front of me, so I can't tell you. What I can tell you is that for some reason, whatever her name is, Joe. So
Helen Hunt.
The film starts like in 1969 and a twister is coming through their house and they go into this bunker, this tornado bunker, and then for some reason her dad like attaches himself to the door of this bunker to try and keep the door down, even though when the door inevitably gets ripped off and he goes flying off into the cyclone, the girl and the mum who are still in the bunker are fine.
Mm.
That's within the first 2 minutes.
Because we need that. Because otherwise, there is a
complete logic flaw from the beginning of like.
But that's fine.
Well, what? No, it's not fine. Because that's the basis of her whole thing. It was like, I saw my dad get killed by a twister.
Yeah, but that's what.
And like, your dad's a fucking idiot. If your dad had just stayed in the bunker.
Damien, you need to have something happen. Otherwise, it wouldn't be a film. If her dad never died from a twister. She wouldn't have this vendetta against twisters.
You don't get to the bunker in time, or he throws his fucking wife and daughter into the bunker, and then he gets swept away.
That's how they tricked us, because we thought they were fine, because they were safe. But they weren't, because twisters.
But it's bad storytelling.
You don't know, babe. You've never seen twisters before. You don't see a twister take your house and then spare someone else's. You don't know.
Anyway, then we cut to the present day. And there's a bunch of meteorologists at the National Severe Storms Lab.
Man, it's so good.
They're discussing a building storm system over Oklahoma. Meanwhile, Bill Harding, which is Bill Haxton, and his fiance, who is the only person in this film that has any fucking agency and is the only normal human being in this whole story.
I feel so bad for her.
From the get-go, you were like, I'm asking you questions of like, why is she here? Why are they here? And why is she following him around? Like, the whole film. And then, like, at the beginning of the third act, she has this realization of like, I've got to go. I've got to let Bill Paxton be with his twisters.
Mm.
But she kind of plays it really well of like...
Gotta let him be with his sisters. Because,
like, her whole, like, the way that she plays it, like, physically, is you're insane. And but I
you're,
have
you're
to.
Insane. You're
I have,
insane.
I have to go. Like, but it's not even that dramatic. It's more like, I'm gonna go.
You're missing the fact that his name's not Bill, it's Wild Bill. They called him Wild Bill Harding. They're like, Wild Bill's here to take care of
his fiance, Dr. Melissa Reeves, which is the Square Despair woman from Seinfeld.
I know. It's so cool.
And they're heading out to meet Bill's former storm chasing team and get the final divorce papers from Bill's soon-to-be ex-wife, Dr. Jo Harding, who's the little girl from the fucking bunker that we met at the beginning of the film. It's also the day your father died, which I didn't get from the film at all. Did you know that? She's sworn to hunt down as many tornadoes as possible. They don't hunt down tornadoes, by the way. It's not like some kind of Ghostbusters thing where they've got a tornado trap and they like suck the tornado. They basically almost get killed like 17 times throughout the film because they go near tornadoes. They do the exact opposite thing of every other normal human being on the face of the planet, and they go towards tornadoes rather than away from them. Anyway, essentially, Bill Paxton wants her to sign these divorce papers, and rather than sending them via lawyers like normal people, he has to... They do kind of explain this a little bit of, like, she won't sign the papers. So he comes to see her in person to be like, hey, sign the papers.
And then he gets swept up in the sexy world of chasing, the sexy and corporate world of sexy tornadoes, because there's also them chasing a tornado, and then there's like the rich, there's like a Cary Ewes who plays the best baddie ever.
He plays Dr. Jonas Miller.
Oh, mate, they're just the best baddies. And it's like, you know, they've got all these like technology and they're so clever, and I just love how they're like, but they go to the corporate sponsorship, because we all know that the tornadoes bring in pretty hefty corporate sponsorship.
Yeah, absolutely.
What the fuck?
Yeah.
From who?
Well, from everybody. From everybody. It's the hottest marketing ticket in town. And Bill tells us that Dr. Jonas, the bad guy, that he's in tornado chasing for the money, not the science.
For the money. For
not
the corporate,
the science.
Not the science.
Not the science.
And you know what's so good? They allude in this film about also how much, like, you know, this rich capitalistic side with all their money and corporate sponsorship. Like, they've got all this they've got all this technology to, like, grade and see when tornadoes are coming in and blah, blah, blah. All this stuff. All this technology. But you know what? All the technology in the world could never match up to Wild Bill and his ability to sense when a tornado is coming. There's a moment where we're at the truck stop where he walks out and they're like, watch this. This is why we call him Wild Bill. And he goes out the front and he picks up some dirt and, like, drops it.
He smells it, drops it in his hand.
Guys, Joe, we gotta go. Because he's like this beautiful mind, Russell Crowe guy, with tornadoes. All the science in the world. Nothing is as good as Wild Bill. Dude, I fucking love this
Essentially,
movie.
Wild Bill and Joe created this weather machine called Dorothy. That the idea is that they've created Dorothy to put into a tornado to get data about tornadoes. We never really find out what kind of data. It's just... Tornado data.
It's just data that could revolutionize tornado chasing because it could. Because this data apparently will tell them how tornadoes, give them a warning about tornadoes. So instead of getting a siren 2-minute warning, you get a 15-minute warning. That's the data.
Yeah. If only we had satellites that we could do this with. Anyway, the rest of the film. Is essentially them trying to chase these twisters to put Dorothy in these tornadoes. And Bill is slowly getting sucked back into his old life.
Sucked back into the tornado life.
And realizes that he still loves Joe and blah, 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 blah. They're essentially like, the whole thing sort of centers around like the big one, you know, like they're looking for the big twister, which obviously
oh my god, it's five, category five.
Yeah, so there's like an hour of them chasing twisters. It's so fucking boring.
I love it.
This film is so bad. It's so bad. The writing is bad. The acting is bad. Wrong. Helen Hunt is so unlikable. What do you mean nah?
I said nah.
She absolutely is. This whole film hinges on...
You would be closed off emotionally too if your dad was murdered by a tornado.
He didn't need to be. She's probably... If she was angry at him for being a dickwad, then yeah, I could understand. She should be angry at her dad, not the tornado. The tornado is being a tornado.
That's what you expect of a tornado, right?
Yeah. Tornadoes are going to twist. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The dad was being a fucking hero when he should have just stayed in the bunker. Dick one. Anyway, the category five shows up. And Bill and Joe are basically, they're trying to get Dorothy into the category five because they haven't given up on this thing. And they're also noticing Jonas. So this whole time Jonas is basically the bad guys following them around. Because he's got his own version of Dorothy that he stole off them.
Yeah, but they called it's called Oz, yeah? Is it called Oz?
Yeah, something like that. It's all Wizard of Oz shit because of the tornado. Anyway, cut a long story short, Jonas gets sucked up into a tornado and dies.
So he should because he's a baddie.
And then somehow Joe and Bill manage to strap themselves to a piece of iron and literally just stay in the middle of a tornado. You see them looking up into the top of a tornado and Helen Hunt's like, it's beautiful.
No, like their skin and clothes hasn't been like ripped apart.
Yeah, it's crazy. Anyway, the team start to celebrate as Dorothy's sensors work, analyzing the inside of the tornado. But then they notice the tornado shifting. Bill and Joe notice it as well. We basically just said that. They find metal pipes inside the shelter and they strap themselves to it. They manage to see the inside of the F5 tornado as it passes over them. It's filled with lightning and a smaller tornado in the core. Seconds later, the entire storm dissipates and the family from the farm comes out of their underground storm shelter and observe their damaged farm. Bill and Joe debate who will run the lab and who will analyze the new data from Dorothy while the rest of the team arrives. The movie ends with Bill and Joe reconciling their relationship with a big sloppy kiss while the team celebrates around them. We need to talk about Philip Seymour Hoffman in this film.
He's so good in this film. He's the best. I was like, see?
He's a creep.
Yeah, but it's like, this is like one of his big breaks as if he was like so cool. He's so cool.
I don't think he's cool at all. I think he's a weird creep. I think he's playing the character that way. Like, yeah. I think it's a choice by Philip Seymour Hoffman, but this character is.
He's like
fucking gross.
Calabunga, dude. I love twisters.
But he's always like touching women in a weird way. And like you feel like he's only seconds away from sniffing a girl's hair.
Tornadoes it's like this guy's not on coke. He's on tornadoes. Like the way that he talks so – like he's got the massive boner every time he talks about tornadoes. It's so weird. What a character choice.
Yeah, it's fucking bizarre.
You know what
I love? The whole crew is like – I think that they're trying to go for that like aliens thing of like having a crew of different people, and you know what I mean? I'm trying to think of another example, or like Predator, you know, like having this like, you know, like it's a very cinematic thing to do of like having a group of six or seven people all completely different.
Yeah.
Actually, it's more like the old disaster films of the 70s, like the Poseidon Adventure and stuff where like.
Yeah.
You know, there's this screaming lady and then, like, the hero and then, like, the nerdy guy and so on and so on and so on. Mm. They kind of have that in this crew, except all of them are insane.
Mm.
And, like, there's a part of me that's like, I don't think that, you know, I mean, obviously it's a B-grade disaster movie, so, like, whatever. But just, like, from a writing point of view, they don't really do – Bill Paxton makes you like him because he's good at doing that.
Yeah.
I think the rest of the crew, they don't really spend much time on trying to validate what they're doing, because what they're doing is fucking insane. Mm. And if you're a sane human being, you immediately go, oh, who cares? Let them die. You know what I mean? Like there's this veiled thing of like, oh, they're heroes. They're trying to get more weather information. But like Dorothy itself looks so fucking cheap and nasty. I can't even be... You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's the 90s. You know what I just saw on TikTok? These people made a lunch that is an exact replica of the lunch when they go to their Arnie May's house, yeah. Right? Which is – it's a really perfect scene of, like, just all the weirdness of this film. The fact that Jo has a shower at her house and then puts on another white singlet that's clean.
Yeah, she like has this kind of uniform of like a white singlet and overalls.
Yeah. All she wears is white singlets. And it's just.
And they have one of those magical American scenes where like 14 people show up at her auntie's place and within 12 seconds, she's got steak lunch for everybody.
It's just.
It's
so
like
funny.
A sort of Thanksgiving spread that she's managed to whip up
on. She makes the best food and it's just like massive steaks and eggs. And
mashed potatoes.
And mashed potatoes and gravy. And it's just come out of nowhere.
Yeah. But there's also like, but the whole table is filled with food. It's not like they're getting served food, but then there's all this other surplus food that's just on the table as well.
It was a really good TikTok where I was like, oh, these guys, because it was like 20 of them, like all these mates that are like, we're recreating the lunch scene at the Arnie's house in Twister. And it's like someone's like, you know, like waving as they're making like 26 fried eggs.
Yeah.
Like, let's just, and this state, man, I don't know. I kind of really like the badness of this film. I really like it. I just think it's terrible, but for the right reasons. And, you know, like when a big tornado, a four, so Category 4 comes through and they're like, oh no, it's headed for Ernie's house. So they go back and she's trapped in a house and they save her. And then she's in the hospital, she's in the ambulance. And before the ambulance comes away, they were like, hey, Joe, we've got word. There's a five. And I can't remember what she says to her in the ambulance, but she's like, but it was something along the lines of, Joe, you go get that twister.
Yeah.
Like, it was like that. Like, you go get him. You go murder that. You get him. Go get my girl. Dude, it was fucking great. I loved it. You didn't like it?
No, I didn't like
it. Can't you see the parody in it?
I don't think it's a parody at all.
No, it's not a parody, but
I think it's a very serious attempt at a disaster film.
But you watch.
But the disaster, they're chasing the disaster. Yeah. The whole.
For science!
The whole thing of a disaster movie is a bunch of people get caught in a situation that they didn't choose and then watching them deal with that situation. This is a bunch of fuckwits choosing to put themselves in harm's way for science. But I'm sure that they would, like, go to the FBI or, you know, NASA or whoever with this information, and they would be like, yeah, we've already got this information.
I don't know. I think it's a bit more, it's a lot funner than
that. I would, like, love to see that. If that was the Chiron of this film, of them showing up to NASA with their data and NASA going, yeah, we've already got that data. That would make this film the greatest film of all time.
Don't you think it's possible, though? You watch a lot of films.
I watch a lot of shit movies.
You watch a lot of shit films that are always very serious in tone.
No.
No, but they're made to be taken seriously.
Yeah, but that's what's fun about them when they're bad, because it.
This is that film. It was made to be taken seriously and it's bad.
Yeah, I mean.
Can't you appreciate that?
No. Because Helen Hunt is so unlikable in this film. There's still going to be things that. So, like, last week, the last episode, I talked about Foxy Brown, the Pam Grier film, right? Mm-hmm. And those films are bad. They're not. I mean, I would say the story of Foxy Brown is better than this one, but, like, they're not shot particularly well. The stunts are a bit shitty. It's obviously low budget. But Pam Grier is so likable and so engaging as the star of the film, you'll go anywhere with her.
Yeah.
You just need something like that for it to still be. Like, the other night I was watching The Wraith starring Charlie Sheen, and it's a terrible film where essentially he's a kid who has died and his ghost shows up in the form of, like, this car with, like, a driver in it. Anyway. Like, his performance isn't particularly good in it, but it's, like, a cool film and it looks cool and the soundtrack is cool. Like, there's redeeming features to it, even though it's a bad film, you know what I mean? Twister, I didn't get any of that.
Oh, you didn't? It's such a shame.
No.
It's a lot of fun. All right, well, you know what? I still give it, man, nostalgic-wise, I'm giving it 4 grumps, man.
Oh, I'm giving it 1.
Really?
Yeah.
I love Twister. Like, I'll watch it again.
No, thank you.
I'll watch it again today.
No, thank you.
I love it. Twister. Jimmy, what do you think about Twister? Here. Oh, he licked the microphone. Jimmy just licked my microphone. Oh, darling. He's so sweet. All right, so dinner time?
Dinner time. What's the time, Dr. Wolf?
What should we have for dinner?
Dinner time.
Yeah. All right, well.
Jimmy, I think we have roast Jimmy.
No, he's just a puppy. No, roast Jimmy.
Roast Jimmy with vegetables.
Well, maybe next episode.
Aunt May makes the best roast Jimmy and gravy.
Aunt May. Dude, I'm hankering for some mashed potato and gravy. Not even mashed potato, mashed tater.
Oh, you got to have some gravy on that roast Jimmy.
Oh, my God, Philip Seymour Hoffman. What the fuck was that?
What is going on?
What a choice. What a choice. You know what, man? Like, it's like he's so high on twist. Anyway, all right, so 1 grum from you, 4 from me. Okay.
Yeah. That's good. Well, thanks for listening, kids. We appreciate it. Rate and review, especially those Apple reviews. We like those ones. The bestest.
I love them the bestest.
Don't know what we're going to do next. Yeah. Haven't thought about it, but it'll be something cool and fun. And hopefully I like it a little bit more than Twister. Maybe we could do The Wraith.
The film I'm happy
I was just
that.
Talking about with Charlie Sheen and some other people.
Yeah.
Ron Howard's brother.
Oh, okay.
The weird one.
Yeah, look, I'm happy with that. Yeah, I can do that.
Don Howard.
Sloan Howard. Bomb Howard.
Sloan Peterson. All right, let's go.
All right, I love you.
I love ya. I'm out.